Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, this is Lewis Fine, and we have another great show for you today, our second of the new year here in 2015, and we're going to be speaking with Kevin Guz of Homevestors Dallas, because the topic of this show is very compelling, because Kevin is going to explain how you can make money on every real estate lead, and the tips he will offer reflect considerable experience on his part, a thorough knowledge of the marketplace, and a very practical way in which to make these steps achievable. With that said, let me bring Kevin on the program. Kevin, welcome.
Thank you, Lewis. Glad to be here.
So let's dive into this, because there are plenty of real estate investors and there are plenty of real estate investors with plenty of leads, but walk us through the process step by step on how a real estate investor can make money on every lead.
You know, Lewis, there's a lot of new real estate investors that I imagine have just hit the market and they're hot and excited and ready to go out and buy every house that they can. And one of the lessons that they'll have and that I had as a new investor and as most investors have is you quickly realize that even if you're getting great leads, whether they're responding to your mailer or responding to your website or responding to any form of marketing that you're doing, unfortunately, you won't be able to buy every one of them. And what's important, especially for the new investors, don't get discouraged. You won't be able to buy every one of them. Every one of them will not fit your model and may not make sense for you, or they may not make sense for the seller. But don't get discouraged. There's still solutions. You can still solve seller problems by other alternatives. Even if you don't get to outright buy the house for cash, as is, pay their closing costs due, there's still other ways to go. And that's what I want to share today, as you mentioned. And before I kind of go through some different scenarios, I want to stress, though, that first and foremost, our role as investors is to solve those problems for motivated sellers in distressed situations. And we do that, as I mentioned just a minute ago, by buying homes for cash, as is, paying their closing costs, and moving quickly. And that's paramount and fundamental to what we do. And I encourage every new investor to ground themselves in those principles, because that's what we do, and that's what will ultimately drive your success. So don't lose sight of that as we talk about some of the other alternatives or options. Now, as far as some of the other alternatives or options, you know, you're going to find yourself as a new investor sitting across from motivated and or distressed sellers, but for whatever reason, your offer may not solve the situation. And a very common example is you'll do your math, you'll calculate your offer, you'll consider what repairs are needed, you'll consider the market value of the property, and you'll come up with a very logical number that makes sense for you as an investor to purchase that home. But quite often that number may not make sense for the seller. And a common scenario is they have a mortgage on the property, as many homeowners do. And if your offer does not meet or exceed their mortgage balance, most sellers will not be in a position to sell. They will not have extra money set aside to cover the remainder of that mortgage balance that's left unpaid as a result of your offer. So that may be a hurdle that you just cannot overcome. A mortgage balance of $80,000 and your cash offer of $65,000, there's a $15,000 gap that's got to be closed, and either you or the seller has to close it, and it may make no sense for either of you, or either of you may not have the capability to do so. So you're at a standstill in that particular situation. Well, the first tactic then, don't walk away. A new investor may pack up their binder and put their calculator away and say, thank you very much for having me out, and leave. Don't go so quick. There may be an opportunity still to solve their problem. And for you to generate some income for your business. And the first and foremost technique that I use, and there's many techniques, and we won't cover them all today, but here's just a couple to keep it simple for the new investor getting out of the gates right now in 2015. And that first technique is the real estate assignment. Perhaps you can give that seller a contract for the price they need for that property and put an option time frame on that contract that allows you to go market that property legally to other investors, to which that price that that seller needs may make perfect sense to another investor. And you're able to assign your contractual rights at that price that the seller has identified to that new investor, solve that seller's problem, and, by the way, provide a great investment opportunity to invest to another investor who didn't have access to that particular lead or that particular seller. So you've solved two people's problems, and you're able, in return, to generate some income for yourselves in the form of an assignment fee.
Well, before we get to our next point, Kevin, I just want to interrupt for a moment because it seems that you're making a very straightforward, commonsensical, and valuable assertion here, which is do the research, be prepared, and network. So you have the capital, both financial and intellectual, at your disposal to afford you the flexibility to be a successful investor.
Yes, you're exactly right. Because the conversation in this scenario, if you were to play it out live, it plays out with you as an investor telling that seller, hey, can't buy your property for that price. It doesn't work for my model, but guess what? I know some others who can. And the important word there is no. You have people in your network who you know may be very motivated to purchase that property in that area. And you may be asking, well, hey, Kevin, if you ran the numbers as an intelligent investor and it didn't work for you, why is it going to work for anyone else? Well, it may not work for anyone else. And I don't want to oversimplify or make this sound like it's an easy or a guaranteed deal. But if it is truly a good deal, it just doesn't fit your model. It may fit someone else's because you may be able to find an investor who owns three or four rental properties in the vicinity of the property that you're working on. And they may be more motivated and more able, capable, or interested in paying more than you because of the synergies they'll get by acquiring yet another property in that particular area that they know, that they like, that they're familiar with, that they may already have tenants waiting to occupy it because their other properties are full. They've got their maintenance crews there in the neighborhood day in, day out, maintaining their existing properties. Sometimes those investors, and I say that because I myself am one of them, I'm willing to pay more for a property if it's amongst other investment properties that I already own. So that's an example of, hey, why would some other investor pay more than me? If I'm doing the proper due diligence and the proper math, why will it work for them but not for me? Well, there's one example of how that could work. So
a very good point about, again, being a professional, being prepared, and examining the totality of a situation so you can make money on every lead. So that brings us, of course, to our next point. And Kevin, again, I defer to you.
Well, let's say that price that that seller has identified, it doesn't work for you, as we've stated. You've thought about it through a different light, the assignment, like we just described. And let's say you've determined, well, that price is still too high to market to other investors. And you'll know that based on what the seller needs. And you as an investor have enough local intelligence to know what's appealing to other investors and what's not. And you may determine that, hey, I can't even market this as an assignment to other investors because it's just not, it's not a deal. And by the way, let me add a footnote. Don't be tempted to push or market properties that are not a quote-unquote deal to your investors. You don't want to get the reputation as that investor who's putting properties out there at prices that are unrealistic or just aren't suitable to an investor, you want to put in good quality deals in front of the other investors, and don't get earmarked as the one who is putting out overpriced properties, because ultimately that will only harm you. But if you find,
I just want to interrupt for a moment. It's about that point you just made, which is about really due diligence is so critical. So again, I want you to continue with that theme, because it's something that investors should always be mindful of.
It really is. And that's what takes you to this second option and final option is, and by the way, there's many more beyond this, but let's cover these two today. And the second option is perhaps that property is best suited for the retail market. You know, the assignment marketed the property to the wholesale market, but perhaps the price is still too high for the wholesale market. Well, then you turn to the retail market. And perhaps you are a realtor, or you can refer that seller to a realtor who you know and can recommend, who can get the price that the seller needs and do it on the retail market. You know, that's where you're going to get the most for that property. And in a scenario like this, you as an investor, if you're wondering, well, gosh, if I give them a realtor's phone number, how do I make money there? How can I monetize this lead that hasn't worked for me? It hasn't worked for my wholesale and investment peers who are buyers. How do I make money if I turn it over to a realtor? Well, you can work with your local realtor. You may be a realtor, but you can negotiate or discuss a finder's fee or a referral fee or whatever arrangement you feel is appropriate between you and your realtor contact. And still, it's, you know, you may not make what you would normally make, obviously, if you were to buy and sell the house or buy and rent the house. But, you know, always try to look at your leads and how you can monetize them. Even if they don't work for you, there may be a way you can still solve that seller's problem, get that house sold, and even if it's in the form of a small referral fee, it's still income that you're generating for your business. And there's plenty of realtors, trust me, plenty of realtors who are looking for leads and will answer your phone call when you call and leave a message or tell them live, hey, I've got a lead for you, a house that's ready and raring to be listed. Are you interested? I'll be shocked if you get a response of no. So that's the third scenario.
Well, that scenario is very important, obviously. And in these remaining 2 minutes, I just want to have you stress again this value of building your network, because that's the foundation upon which you can make money on every lead.
It is the key, Lewis. It's absolutely the key. And if you were paying attention, you know, that is the common thread throughout our entire discussion today is you as an investor, it's not a job you do from a desk within four walls from behind a door. You know, you've got to get out there and network, and you've got to develop resources, and you've got to get access to your peers and your colleagues so that any one of these scenarios you could confidently enter into. I'll buy the house for cash right now because I know who I can rent it to, I know who I could wholesale it to, or I know I can fix it up and I've got a realtor who will market it for me. Number two, I'll assign this house to somebody because I know of investors within my group of peers who will buy it as a wholesale deal, as an assignment contract. Or number three, I'll refer this lead to a realtor who I know will successfully market and sell and service this seller properly and solve their situation. And once again, that realtor is in my network of peers because I met them, you know, going to REI club meetings, getting my name out there, and being active in the community as a real estate investor and a problem solver.
Absolutely spot on. Those three principles, those three overriding principles, are a guide to making money on every lead. They're a guide to professionalism and preparedness. As always, Kevin, I thank you for joining us. A very good conversation.
Thank you, Lewis. I look forward to talking with you again.